I've mentioned to a few people here about what Boxing Day is. Essentially, Boxing Day is the day after Christmas. But this Boxing Day will be kind of special for me. It'll be the 40th anniversary of the day I met Sandy's mother. Now, that was an interesting experience, because when I met her, she barely said a word. Very quiet lady. I found out later that it was because she had been suffering vocal cord nodes and was not allowed to speak. What do you think about when you can't talk? Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, went through, I'm going to guess, close to 10 months during which he could not speak. Not that he didn't want to, not that he was told not to. He was not able to speak. What do you think about when all you can do is think? Zechariah is described in the scriptures as being old, although sometimes the pictures of him, I think, are a little exaggerated, and here's why I say that. Priests retired at 60, and he was serving, so he couldn't have been more than 60 years old. Now, let me add a fact. Men tended to marry women who were quite a bit younger, sometimes half their age. A man could be 30 when he would marry a 15-year-old. So Elizabeth, well, he might have married someone closer to his age, but in any case, Elizabeth could not have children. And Zechariah was told by an angel, Elizabeth will have a child, and you are to name him John. And told him some things about him. Zechariah said, well, wait a minute. How can that be? Now, here's the amazing thing. Zechariah was told, your prayers have been answered. And Zechariah said, in essence, what? No, they haven't. My prayers can't be answered. God says, oh, yeah, well, then you can stop praying out loud altogether. Until these things are fulfilled. And it's sort of, well, you got to admit, that comes down as a punishment now, doesn't it? Finally, in obedience to the word that Gabriel gave in chapter 1, verse 13, you shall name him John, he does name his son John. Let's look at the story. Luke chapter 1, going to begin at the 57th verse. The time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. And all her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, no, he will be called John. Now, obviously, Zechariah had written something to tell his wife, I was commanded to name him John. His name's going to be John. So she's going along. And they said to her, lady, you don't know what you're talking about. None of your relatives has that name. So they motioned to his father, come on over here, to find out what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. Yimach Shem Yohanan. In Hebrew. They're in the temple, so I figure they did it in Hebrew, right? And as soon as he wrote that, they were all amazed. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Pause right there. Now, if you are looking at the notes, you see that I've done something that looks a little strange. I've put Zechariah's speech in at this point. I think this is the point where he gave it. So I'm going to read Zechariah's speech. His tongue was set free. He began to speak, praising God. Zechariah's father was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets in ancient times. Salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege, since we have been rescued from our enemies' clutches, to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now we jump back to verse 65. "Fear came on all those who lived around them. And all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, 'What then will this child become?' For indeed, the Lord's hand was with him." Jumping down to verse 80, "The child grew up and became spiritually strong, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Zechariah spoke to reveal your plan of salvation and his son's role in that plan. Speak to us about our role in that plan. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah began his prophecy the way prophecy is supposed to begin, the way prayer is supposed to begin, the way each day is supposed to begin. He began with praise. Began by praising God. "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." The word horn is a symbol in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. It is merely symbolic of strength. He has raised us up a stronghold, a strong fortified city, a strong power of salvation. If we want to understand this, I have to go back to what I said some months ago in a message, and I promised you at that time I would repeat it. And I am repeating it now. I'll repeat it again. There are two facts to understand if you want to understand the Gospels. And the first is that the Creator God had purposed from the very beginning to deal with the problems within his creation through Israel. Through Israel, God would heal the fallen world. Not simply, now this is where people get confused, not simply by demonstrating to the world what he intended, a nation that got it right. His purpose was for Israel to be a nation that got it right, that learned how to be a nation. Unfortunately, they failed in that task. I'm not talking against Jews. They'd be the first ones to tell me. They'd be the first ones to say, "We failed." But God intended that Israel would not just be an example, but they would actually be the means, the medicine, by which people would come to God. I kind of picture it this way. I heard the story of a child who suffered a bacterial condition, and survived it. And his antibodies were used to help others survive the same disease. So he was not only an example of someone surviving the disease, he became the means of, dare I call it, salvation for many others. You see the point? Israel was to be not just an example, they were that, supposed to be that, but also the means of salvation for the world. Here's the second point. This work would be accomplished through Israel's history reaching a great moment of climax. was not a process, it was an event. A great moment would happen when Israel would bring healing to the world. Zechariah is here announcing that great moment of climax has arrived. It has arrived in this kinswoman of his wife who was visiting them. It has arrived in the birth of his son who would prepare the way for that great moment. And so he begins with praise, but then he talks about salvation. And if you want to understand salvation, we got to stop thinking like Baptists all the time. Because salvation can mean many things. If you read the Psalms, when David talks about being saved, is he talking about his soul going to heaven? Not really. He tends generally to be talking about being rescued from enemies, from military enemies. That's the common sense of the Old Testament. Salvation is from physical enemies. My life was saved. I was rescued. We see here that Zechariah is taking a different tack. He says, salvation from our enemies. Sounds very like David, doesn't it? Sounds very much like the Psalms. But why does he talk about David raising up a horn of salvation when David never had to deal with Romans? See, who were the enemies of Israel in the days of Zechariah? The Romans. They were the guys oppressing the land. They were the ones with the strange laws. They were the Gentiles ruling over God's helpless people. How can the Gentiles be ruling over us? We're supposed to be ruling over them. Oh, but we failed our God. And now we're getting beat down. When will God finally forgive our sins and let us rule the way he intended? Zechariah says, here it is. Notice that in verse 77, what kind of salvation does he talk about? How does salvation come about? Through the forgiveness of sins. That doesn't sound very military to me. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. And even sin is not our greatest enemy. Its product is. What is the last enemy that will be destroyed? Death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. That's the real enemy. That's the monster. But Jesus Christ, as we saw and have seen as we read the Gospels, Jesus Christ beat that enemy. We are delivered from the enemy death in resurrection. So that is what we're being saved from. But according to Zechariah, what are we being saved to? We're being saved to the promises that were given to Abraham, verse 73. He swore on oath to our father Abraham and given us a privilege. God swore to Abraham, I will keep my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. That's Genesis 17:7. It's actually Genesis. He says in verse 74 that we've been given the privilege, get this, the privilege to serve him without fear. You saw that film about Lottie Moon, that brief video. And do you remember the word she began with? What was her prayer at the beginning? I pray that no missionary will ever be as lonely as I have been. Wow. And what did she also say at the end? She counted it a privilege. If the joy of the Lord is their strength, the joy of serving him will more than compensate for the hardship. He has given us the privilege of being able to serve him without fear. What's the thing to fear? The enemy. What's the enemy? Death. And spend our lives in his presence in verse 75. So that is what Zechariah is talking about. He praises God that we are saved from our worst enemy. He sees that day has come. God's offer of salvation through the forgiveness of sins has finally arrived. after 400 years of hearing from not one prophet, it's finally happened. It bursts like the dam and flows. So what happens now? Well, where do we go from here? Here is Zechariah. He's standing with this kins lady who's 6 months pregnant, and or actually 3 months pregnant, and standing with his newborn son. This is the salvation God promised. Not very impressive looking at this point. He says, no, there's more to come. You see, when you study the scriptures, we understand that there is always this terrible tension. This tension between it has happened and it hasn't happened yet. You remember the question I asked some time ago, do you have your full salvation? Yeah, I do. No, I don't. That's what's being said here. It's here, but it's not here. And that's the tension he has. Zechariah says there's a step to go yet, and John is the step. John is that step. John will deal with the enemy death. Unfortunately, he's going to have to deal with it by facing it. John was a sign. Prophets had spoken to Israel for over 600 years, from the time of Samuel to the time of Malachi. Prophets had spoken. You can barely find a spot in the history of Israel where there isn't some prophet speaking. Even through the exile, there were prophets. After the exile, there were prophets. And then suddenly, it came to an abrupt halt. And they waited. 100, 200, 300, 400 years of silence. And then finally, breaking forth, God speaks and says, here's a man who's been silent just like I have been. And Zechariah serves as a sign. The silence is broken. The prophetic dam has burst. And you will get a flood of prophecy. In fact, you will get more than you can handle. What did Inga read to us? What did Inga read to us? Behold, I send my messenger. The messenger you desire. The one you've been waiting 400 years for. But do you think you can handle it when he shows up? You know, one of the great fantasy fears I would have in my head would be to have Jesus Christ walking in at the beginning of one of my sermons, sitting down and just putting his face in his hands. That would terrify me. That's what's happening. John the Baptist is going to come. He's going to say, no, 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 this is not God's way. And he's going to go to the wilderness and prophesy. Zechariah announced that a new day was dawning, but can you bear it? And Zechariah's silence was broken as a sign that the silence of God itself had broken. So the salvation Zechariah spoke of has arrived. The great moment of climax that I told you about at the beginning has come. And I have to ask a question. Israel endured 400 years of the silence of prophets. Is your world, your sphere, having to endure the silence of God because you do not speak? You can. Zechariah couldn't. You can. Can you imagine the things Zechariah wanted to say after seeing an angel? You have been saved by the living God. Do not let this Advent season go on in silence. You have something to say. Tell the world. Tell the world that whatever they need has come, that their greatest need is fulfilled, that their greatest enemy is defeated, and that they can know eternal life. Tell them they have a way to become fully adopted children of God.